Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church. I'll be with you all this week, having a grand time opening God's Word, sharing with you some things that you, the listener, have questions about. We've received some consistent letters, and periodically what we do, if we have either one letter or one question that's really great, we'll dedicate some time to answering it. But sometimes we get questions perhaps that initially we don't want to take a lot of time dealing with, but we consistently get, a repeated question from various people, and hence we feel then perhaps a lot of people have questions about it, and we need to maybe address it from God's Word. And so we're going to do that today. And as a matter of fact, we are going to offer you something, and it's simply a copy of the broadcast and a fact sheet that goes along with the discussion. And what we're going to talk about this week is the issue of this spiritual phenomenon called tongues. And you hear it all the time. You see it on television, in Christian television or religious television, and you hear it in a variety of religious media. Perhaps you've been to a local's church or something, and you've seen this, or you've heard about it, and perhaps maybe you're involved in it, and maybe you even participate in it. The issue for many people, though, is what is this thing, and is it biblical? Now, before we give you the biblical side of it, whether what is manifested today is biblical or non-biblical, we're going to start off by making an assumption. And that assumption will be that, for the moment, that everything you see and hear today in a church, Christian church, quote-unquote, regardless of the denomination or the title of the church or the congregation, if someone says, well, yeah, we speak in tongues, or there's utterances in tongues or speaking in tongues, initially we're going to say, okay, let's just assume that's biblical. In other words, we're not even going to address whether that would be biblical or unbiblical, or is there some scriptural basis to make those claims. What we want to do at first is talk to you and tell you, assuming those things are biblical, when does that practice and those things violate Scripture? Now, again, we're not going to start off with some apologetic approach trying to tell you that this is not biblical or it is biblical. But what we're going to tell you is, when does that phenomenon violate Scripture? So whether it's right or wrong, we're not going to address yet, but we're going to tell you when it violates Scripture. You say, well, if it's wrong, it violates Scripture. Well, certainly it does. So obviously, we're going to assume for a moment that it's correct. Now, if it's correct, how is it in violation of the Scripture? Or how is it used that it would be in violation of the Scripture? Now, you need to join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is known for many as the great Pentecostal chapter, or the tongues chapter. But bear in mind, before we get into the text there, that the epistle that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, his first epistle, is an epistle of rebuke. It's not an epistle of compliment. He's not writing to the church at Corinth to just share with them how pleased he is with their spiritual growth, but quite the contrary, he's writing to them, rebuking them for their complete spiritual immaturity, their refusal to grow, and hence their current status there, as he writes, where their doctrines are concerned, they're all fouled up. They've got everything wrong, including spiritual gifts or spiritual things. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to look in a moment about verse 27. We want to make the first statement first, and that is that speaking in an unknown tongue violates Scripture, firstly, when more than three speak at any given meeting. So in other words, if you go to a church meeting, a church service, and more than three people at any given time totally, in other words, from the time the service begins till the time the service is over, if more than three people total have spoken in an unknown tongue, then you're in a church that violates Scripture. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, meaning one at a time, and let one interpret. Now, that's not a problem, is it? Very clear, very simple. Now, obviously, there's a reason for that. Look in verse 23. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, in other words, meaning at the same time, he says, there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. And will they not say that you are mad? So Paul is saying, listen, this unknown tongue thing, from the time you start to the time you leave, no more, maximum, three people. And then certainly he says, one interpret. In verse 28, if there be no interpreter, at the end of verse 27, he says, by course and let one interpret. So maximum of three. Now, let's just run by this one more time, and you think about this. If you attend a church service from the time you begin to the time you leave, from the time you walk in the door and the bell rings, the buzzer starts, or they say, let's open in prayer. In other words, the service begins. Until the time you leave, if more than three people total speak in an unknown tongue, then it's unbiblical. It's violating Scripture. And we just read the passages here. Now, secondly, speaking in an unknown tongue violates Scripture when women do the speaking. We'll look at the verse in a moment, but ask yourself this question. In other words, if you attend a church service, and at any time during that church service, if a woman speaks in an unknown tongue, then you're in violation of Scripture. You're in a local church that has really no regard for the Word of God. It violates Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look in verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, as it was in the function in the Old Testament form of worship, so it is in the New Testament church. The woman publicly is to be quiet. So, obviously, if she is speaking in a tongue, unknown tongue, then she's in violation of the Word of God. She's in violation of Scripture. Now, let me inject this here. Nowhere, Old or New Testament, is there anything known as a heavenly prayer language. Nowhere. Nowhere is that known. That is a made-up idea. Nowhere does the Bible talk about a heavenly prayer language. Not to be found. So don't try to say, well, what about if she's using her prayer language? No such thing. Doesn't exist. The Bible knows no such thing at all. Now, if you think the Bible teaches a heavenly prayer language that's an unknown language, then please take the time to get the chapters and the verses and tell me that. Give me those chapters and verses. Because I have looked and looked and looked, and I can't find them anywhere. So clearly, number one, speaking in an unknown tongue violates Scripture when more than three people speak at any given service. More than three. Secondly, when women do the speaking. Thirdly, when the speaker interprets for himself. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, look in verses 27 and 28 again. If any man speak in another tongue, another language, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So if he's speaking an unknown tongue, and there's no one to interpret what he's saying, then he is to be quiet, not to say any more. That's the end of that. Now, if he interprets for himself, then obviously he's in violation of the Word of God. Sort of a check and balance, we could say. because then otherwise a person could just say whatever he wants and then interprets it. He could say, you know, whatever in some unknown language and then come back and say, God says that I should be your king. And who are you to say? So clearly the scripture says more than three, it's a violation of scripture, women speaking, violation of scripture, the one speaking in the unknown tongue, if he interprets himself, violation of scripture. Fourthly, when there's no interpreter at all, he says again in verse 28, if there's no interpreter, let him keep quiet. So if there's no interpreter, that's the end of that. There shouldn't be any more if there's nobody interpreting. Fifthly, when there is confusion, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, if someone is speaking in an unknown tongue and there is any bit of confusion generated at all, the slightest bit of confusion generated, it violates the word of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look in verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. Now, clearly, Paul is saying what? This should not in any way cause any confusion at all. And in verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. So there should not be any confusion. There should not be any chaos, any uncertainty, or anything of that nature whatsoever. It should be all clear and understood, just as Paul lays the ground rules down to a bunch of young Christians who had everything messed up. Now, sixthly, speaking in an unknown tongue violates scripture when self-control is lost. What do you mean? Well, when someone says that they couldn't help it, that something came over them and took control of them and they just had to make this utterance. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 32. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Nowhere in 1 Corinthians 14, or anywhere in the Word of God for that matter, does it say that the Holy Spirit takes over anybody's volition and causes them, forces them to utter something in some unknown language and then comes upon someone else and causes them to interpret that. Now, that's a common phenomenon in many, many groups where someone all of a sudden is overtaken, he says, by the Holy Spirit, and then someone interprets. And someone says, the Spirit was speaking today. When 1 Corinthians 14, it's not God the Holy Spirit speaking at any time. It's the individual speaking. It's not God giving some providential divine utterance, but it's just the other way around. Anyway, we're about out of time. Give us a call if you have any questions or comments, but most importantly, join us tomorrow at this same time.